This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. And I step into a time machine, thanks to Nature Magazine, and go 50,000 years ago. I welcome Jennifer Miller and Yiming Wang of the Department of Archaeology, Max Planck Institute for the Science of Human History in Jena, Germany, publishing in the peer-reviewed top-of-the-pile magazine Nature. Ostrich eggshell beads reveal 50,000-year-old social network in Africa. Jennifer and Yiming, congratulations and a very good evening to you. First, I want to speak of the circumstance of finding ostrich eggs in southern Africa and in eastern Africa. Let's go to southern first. These are rock shelters. Jennifer, what is a rock shelter and how are these eggs, how are these beads found? How do they dig them out? Are they all together or are they distributed around a large area? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having us. Rock shelters are sort of just a rocky overhang, so not necessarily surrounded on three sides the way that we might think of a cave, but a lot of these sites tend to be rock shelters or caves because they were places that people would have wanted to live in the past, and they're also places that would accumulate material and leave it well preserved for archaeologists to find. So on excavations today, archaeologists will go and sift through the sediments and often recover these beads, usually in isolation, in the screen often as we sieve the sediments and we sort of come across all of these beads in the screen. And so it's the same in Eastern and in Southern Africa that we find typically in rock shelters or caves, and that we recover these beads sorting through the sediments.
There are surprising revelations here, but first we have to describe how they would have been used. Yiming, these are beads, and I assume that it's associated with jewelry. How are they used? How are they worn? Do we have an image of that? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, so these beads can be used because in the modern days, there are still groups of ethnic groups, they are still use them as necklace. So they do wear them. And we do have images online, but that to show that how the beads work are made.
And they're strung together, and are they used for money or are they ornamental? Do we know how they were used? This is the Pleistocene period, the Ice Age. It's a long time ago. Do we have an understanding of trading them or passing them down? You know, the way a mom will pass down to her daughter her jewelry.
So I think that we don't precisely know how whether they are traded or, but definitely there's a cultural heritage. Like we speculate that people like a neighboring group will be learning from each other's bead making practice. So that's how people will get together and make those beads. And they might be traded, but we don't really know what is the manner that people, how they trade those beads. But definitely we were thinking about people could exchange knowledge and their ideas how to make those beads so they can make the beads in the neighboring group.
Jennifer, I'm looking at the photograph of the beads themselves. They're in museums, you tell me, in Africa, but I can see that the ones from the eastern part, the ones from the eastern part, do I have this correctly? From the eastern part are larger than the ones from the southern part, or have I got that reversed? They're clearly,
you got that right.
They're clearly distinct sizes here. Is that significant? Since I've learned from you both that everything's significant, what do you derive from these different sizes? Were there bigger ostriches?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that people have been finding these beads in excavations for, you know, 100 years, as long as they've been doing these excavations. And it just took one person to go look at them to notice that there is quite an apparent size difference between beads in Eastern and Southern Africa. Until very, very recently, there was no good conception of this size difference. And yes, you have it exactly right. Beads in Eastern Africa throughout the whole 50,000 years tend to be a little bit larger, but also have more varying sizes. And in Southern Africa, for most of the last 50,000 years, they're quite a bit smaller and much more regular. And this is something that we narrowed in on that has been a significant way to look at these social relationships in the past.
Yiming, you divide the last 50,000 years into four phases, 50 to 33,000 years ago, 33,000 to 19,000 years ago, 19 to 11.6, and then 11.6 to 2000. How does that help us understand how these beads were used, and what does this tell us about the people in the East and the people in the South?
Okay, so the reason we divided the 50,000 years into five different time phases is because each phase actually is represent a big climate shift in Eastern Africa climate. So for instance, the oldest part from 50 to 33,000 years ago, East Africa was much wetter compared to Southern Africa. So from 33,000 years ago to 19,000 years ago, and this wetness stopped and became drier in East Africa. So this, talk about this intertropical convergence zone, which is the rim belt that is shifted from East Africa to the Zambezi catchment area. And so we really defined the phases according to the climate, a big climate shift. And from 19 to 11.6, 7 years ago, that is the deglacial period. And from the 11.6 to 2000, that is really majority of the Holocene, which is the most recent present interglacial time period.
And
so that's how we define it.
And 2000 to present, that's when the pastoralists take over, because there's a secret here. Jennifer and Yiming are using these beads to imagine the migration or not migration of peoples from East Africa to South Africa. And Yiming is just going through what we know about the glaciation, retreat, advance, dry and wet periods. And Jennifer, is there an articulation here that was not available before using these beads about how people live?
Well, this was our first clue into this study, really, looking at size differences as pastoralism spread into Southern Africa. This was something that was first recognized in the late 1980s by another researcher, Leon Jacobson, who found that beads in Southern Africa suddenly get larger after the spread of pastoralism. And so by building upon this idea, we have looked at the entire 50,000-year history of beads to see if there were other relationships that we could connect between Eastern and Southern Africa. So by 2,000 years ago, we have pastoralism spreading down from the north, running through Eastern Africa into the south, and we also start to see the migration of some of the Eastern African genetic sequence entering into Southern Africa at this time. So we know that these pastoralists that had spread in from the north were interacting or at least aware of Eastern African populations. And we see this size style of beads come into Southern Africa at that same time. So we built upon these studies to look at these social relationships in the deep past to see if there might be other episodes of connection that we could also identify.
Yiming, I'm especially taken by the fact that Eastern Africa, the beads that you indicate here, remained the same over 50,000 years. Does this tell us that this is a craft that was like you would apprentice in this craft? Now, you know, a silversmith. Is that what we're supposed to presume?
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we're thinking, that this craft is passed on through time and indicate that this culture is really resilient to climate shift or to environmental change. But we can see this is a different case in Southern Africa.
In Southern Africa, there looks to be more disruption in the pattern. Does that mean people were changing? It was challenging. What can I know? This is like, you know, you're trying to solve a puzzle from outside a room looking through the window. But what do we presume was the distinction made in Southern Africa about the aperture and the diameters and the range of beads that makes it so heterogeneous compared to Eastern Africa? Do we describe different people, different influences? How so?
So we think actually Southern Africa, perhaps that because the climate condition is a little bit drier there overall. And so we think that when the climate condition is less favorable and there's the food, the animal and the plant distribution is changing, so there might be a smaller community or a group that they have to follow their food source, and therefore they don't have so much energy to invest into making beets.
That's an important point you remind me. The southern beads reflect smaller populations, migratory populations or isolated. The eastern beads reflect larger populations. Is that correct?
We think it is probably bigger populations, and this culture never disconnected, even with the climate change, drastic climate change in the past.
You see that climate change here is the theme that I've been holding us back from, but it's necessary to get to it because Yiming has mentioned the Zambezi catchment. Jennifer has talked about the size of beads in the south and the north. The climate change over 50,000 years is the next analysis of these beads. Jennifer Miller and Yiming Wang, they are writing in Nature magazine about civilization. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.